Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spartan Life Radio, brought to you by Norfolk State University, home of the mighty Spartans. Spartan Life Radio was created with you in mind. It's your source for news and information about NSU matters, including students, faculty, staff, administrators, alumni, and the communities we serve.
Good afternoon, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Welcome to Spartan Life Radio. It's been a long time since we've been with you, but we're so glad to be back. This is our favorite time of the year. We're getting ready to celebrate Black History Month here at Norfolk State University. The Association for the Study of African American Life and History, founded by Dr. Carter G. Woodson and Jesse E. Moreland in 1915, created the first observances of Black History in 1926. Black History Week was held in February to coincide with the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. Each year, Dr. Woodson created a national theme for the celebration. The celebration was expanded to the entire month back in 1976. And that's your history trivia for today, and it serves to introduce you to our topic for this episode of Spartan Life Radio. I'm Sharon Hoggart, your host. Today we're going to be talking about Norfolk State's Black History Month celebration and all of the exciting events and activities planned. We have a Black History Month committee chair with us and other committee members joining us today in the studio with Spartan Life Radio. Dr. Khadija Miller, chair of the Black History Month Committee, and committee members, all of you guys, welcome to Spartan Life Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Miller, will you run through your the committee members that we have on the line with us, and then I'll let them introduce themselves.
Okay, excellent. We have Dr. Robert Perkins, who's chair of the Sociology Department. We have Dr. Kay Lewis, who's an historian and is in the Department of History and Interdisciplinary Studies. We have Dr. Erica Russell, who is a psychologist in the Department of Psychology. And I believe we have Mr. Smith from the Office of Housing and Residence Life. The committee, just for backdrop, is composed of members throughout the university community, and these are just a sampling of those who are providing or sponsoring programs for us this year.
Right, it's really a big committee. And did you mention that you had Dr. Kay Lewis on the line?
Yes, Dr. Kay Lewis,
cool.
From history. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, listeners, if you've got a question about today's topic, you can call us at 1-347-850-8515. That number again, 1-347-850-8515. Just follow the prompts if you want to speak to our guest. All right, as you mentioned at the top of the show, February begins the month-long celebration of Black history in our country. Norfolk State University always produces some of the best programming to not only observe the national theme, but to always educate and celebrate the accomplishments of African Americans to American history and to the American landscape. And Dr. Miller's already introduced her team, so I'm going to go back and have y'all to give a little bit of background about yourselves. We'll start with you, Dr. Lewis, Dr. Kay Lewis. Just give
sure.
us a little bit of intro and background on, about yourself.
Oh, sure. I'm Dr. Kay Lewis. I'm an African-Americanist by training. I came to Norfolk State University 3 years ago, and I'm delighted to be a part of Dr. Khadija Miller's committee for Black History Month because I think that she does an outstanding job of bringing together people and ideas to make a really exciting program for our student population and the public population every year.
Wonderful. Thank
you.
Mr. Tariq Smith?
Yes, ma'am. So, again, I'm Tariq Smith. I'm the area coordinator here at Housing and Residence Life. I started here in 2011 as a graduate assistant seeking my master's degree in community clinical psychology. I then later became a resident director, and now my area coordinator. And the programs that we have, I'm one of the chair members, I'm the committee chair for one of the programs that we're having.
Wonderful. Thank you. Dr. Perkins?
Yes. My name is Robert Perkins, and as Dr. Miller said, I am the department chair for sociology. And my background is in social inequality and social organization. I received my PhD from Iowa State University, which they still celebrate Black History Week in that month. So that shows you how we have not come as far as we think we have come in the nation to illuminate the history of African American and contributions we have made over the years. I'm excited about being a part of this committee, and the program that I'm working with is community policing, looking at the trust factor between Black communities and police officers in particular. And also we're looking at the entire criminal justice system.
Wonderful. Thank you. Dr. Erica Russell.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Erica Russell, and I am assistant professor in the Department of Psychology here at Norfolk State University, where I teach African American psychology and developmental psychology, just to name a few of my areas of interest. I am also excited to be a part of the Black History Month programming, and as a psychologist, I have a particular interest in promoting, understanding and promoting mental wellness within the Black community. As such, our program that we will be hosting through the psychology department and a FACE IT initiative is focused on self-destruction and high stakes, and it will kind of take an interesting twist by incorporating hip-hop cultural history and exploring opportunities for mental wellness through using cultural artifacts.
All right, Dr. Leslie, I don't want to give too much away, but we're going to give you a chance for all y'all to talk about your different activities, so don't give anything away just yet.
Okay.
And Dr. Khadija Miller, besides being the chairman of this this fabulous Black History Month committee, tell our audience what else you do here at Norfolk State University.
Well, we don't have time to discuss everything that I do, but I am I serve as department head for the Department of History and Interdisciplinary Studies, and I am trained in African American Studies and Women's Studies as well.
Wonderful. Again, thank you all for taking time to be on the show with us today. And every year when I interview y'all, one of the things that I want to ask, and I'll call on our historians to tackle this question, for all of you to tackle this question and give us your perspective. When we discuss the purpose of Black History Month, is it still relevant? Is it still relevant? And by observing the annual celebration, what do we as organizers, teachers, instructors, historians hope to accomplish by this observance?
Dr. Bill, you can start it off. Okay, I'll jump in, and then I'll defer to Dr. Lewis. The importance of Black History Month is that you can never know enough. Knowledge is power, and so the purpose of Black History Month, it provides us with an opportunity to have a concentrated, intentional time of the year to focus on the many contributions, experiences, and value-added impact of the African Americans or African Americans and Africans throughout the diaspora in the United States in particular. So it's necessary. We see in contemporary times that we repeat history, and we repeat history because we do not know it. And that lends itself to the relevance and importance and significance of Black History Month. And yes, Black History Month is every day. In particular, NSU Black History Month is every day. We celebrate it all the time through programming, our course offerings, and not just in history, but sociology, psychology, so many other departments recognize and participate in educating our students and community in this important endeavor. So I say that it is relevant and it's necessary today in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Lewis, can you weigh in?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, but also poignantly, I teach African American history, and I'm teaching the second half of the survey, which means the history from 1865 on forward, 3 weeks in, and we're having a discussion in the class where students are sitting there, you know, in a palpable silence about why it is we don't know them, meaning we don't know about this history, and that even in as far as we've gotten, which is sort of towards the end of Reconstruction and into the end of the 19th century into the 20th century, you know, they're understanding that the people that achieved all these wonderful things that, you know, come to fore in this Black History Month, you know, are in important models of how they should be going about the business of educating themselves, about envisioning the, you know, their possibilities. And so to not have that history accessible to them, they told me today, at an earlier age is really problematic. So, you know, in some ways, Black History Month is significant and important, but I also would argue that we really need to make sure, as this one young fellow said, he didn't have any Black history at all in his history courses, and except for the fact that he inserted it into during Black History Month, so it is significant in that regard, but it really needs to be a part of the K-12, the college-level experience. It needs to be, you know, part of the American and the African diasporic story from a historical, sociological, psychological perspective, because then it enables people who, you know, are still experiencing some of the reverberations, white and black, of that history, know how best to address it. So, for example, you know, you can look at the Black Lives Matter movement and not be fearful of it, but understand, you know, that it's following a long trajectory of activism. And then you can also look at the pushback against that organization and understand it for what it is, which is, you know, provoking and inculcating fear in the white community in an attempt to shut it down, to silence it, so that we don't, as a nation, address those important issues that still permeate, you know, our society. So Black History Month is important, but it also is important to bring to fore all the things that need to be incorporated in the interdisciplinary studies that we have in college and in the K-12, you know, experience. And so it's relevant mostly because it's an aberration. It's not inclusive. We still do not include it enough in our national narrative and our national and curriculums, and, mm-hmm. you know, I hope we achieve, you know, an awareness and a desire and a thirst to know more, and I think Dr. Miller always has a comprehensive program that no doubt, you know, does affect students in that way.
Mm-hmm. And if I may add to that, this is Perkins.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you, Dr. Perkins, could you repeat the story that you said at the top of the show, too, about that that place that still is celebrating Black History Week, if you could reiterate that for our audience as well.
Yes. That's in the state of Iowa, where I got my PhD and at the university as well. We did a lot to expand the understanding of the African-American culture / history there that promoted a better understanding and more dialogue and a more extensive time to really unearth a lot of the accomplishments that Black Americans have placed into the United States of America. So while I was there, it went from celebrating it from a day or two to a week, and then I think we got it expanded to a week and a half. One of the initiatives that we did as graduate students was that we need BET. So we got together and got all the signatures, and we had all types of cultures buying into BET. And so we finally got BET into the state where we could access it from the university. And then when I saw the programming on BET, I was, oh, Lord, maybe we shouldn't have gotten it here because we didn't have anything else to balance it out. But from the sociological perspective, everything that Dr. Miller and Lewis said is just so pivotal and on point. And in our area, we look at history as a clock. It's a clock to tell us about our political and cultural time of day. It is a clock that tells people about the history, where they have been and what they have been. Also, it's a clock to show where they are and what they are. So history is very important because it tells people that we must still go. We must keep fighting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't understand that history, we lose that ambition. We lose that tenacity. And I think what Dr. K. Lewis was just saying is just that. If we don't really, really mainstream African-American history along the way through K-12 and higher education, we're going to lose a group of students because they're going to have a buy-in that their people were not productive in the building and construction of Americans' life. And that's what we have to fight against, and that's why February Black History Month is so important. But if you ask me, I think we should extend it. I think it should be February, March, April, May, June, July, and August.
Agreed. Hey, guys, regarding the national theme for Black History Month, the crisis in black education, how is the NSU Black History Month observer going to create programming around that topic or that theme?
I can speak to that. I think I know the calendar of our heart now. Every program speaks to the theme in one way or another because it demonstrates, I think, what Dr. Lewis said in terms of the large void that is found in the K-12 educational system and, sadly, increasingly in higher education as well. So every program in one way or another speaks to this crisis in black education in terms of the missing persons, the missing discussions. But specifically, I think we could say that our lead speaker, Dr. Umar Johnson, will speak directly on the topic on Monday, February 6th at 6 p.m. in Wilder Center. And if you're familiar with Dr. Umar Johnson, you can Google him. But he is quite passionate on what he feels are the ways that African Americans and people of African descent should empower themselves through self-knowledge and through collective responsibility and self-determination in terms of taking control of the educational system and not relying on others to teach and school our children, which historically, and I'll defer to Dr. Lewis, we always did that. And so now to have this reliance on the public, you know, school education system to educate our children is part of our downfall. I believe strongly that we have to go back to our roots where the community really served as a school in itself and taught and presented those life lessons, those stories. The oral tradition is so important in our society, and we just can't lose that because I think then we lose a significant portion of who we are and how we've survived. And then there's other programming I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and there's other programming that also speaks to the educational system. I think our kickoff speaker, Dr. Christine Darden, on next Thursday at 12:30, who was one of the NASA data analysts, computer data analysts, that is featured in the major film, Hidden Figures, and she is in the book in which the film is based on, Hidden Figures by Margot Shetterly. And so she'll be here to talk about what she's done. And I think that that's a prime example of a part of our history that so many people did not know about until Margot Shetterly did this, you know, multi-year research project to uncover and present this to us. And it's in our own backyard, you know, right in Hampton. So I think that on many levels, the programming speaks to this crisis in black education.
All right, listeners, if you have a question about the topic, call us at 1-347-850-8515. If you've got a question or you want to talk to one of our guests, Dr. Miller, you jumped the gun and knocked out two of my questions, so we're going to move along.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay. Let me see what I wanted to ask. Oh, first of all, give us the dates for the Black History Month programs.
Well, we have programming almost every single day, every day of the work week. Our calendar can be found on the university website at www.nsu.edu, and you can find particulars of date, time, and location. But I'll defer to my colleagues, and they can share their particular programming, which is quite exciting.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Let's start with Mr. Tariq Smith. He had, coming from residential life, he had some kind of a unique program going there. Tell us about that that program that y'all are doing.
Yes,
or the Black History Month program.
Yes, ma'am. So on Thursday, we have a Black History game show where we're basically collaborating or putting together Jeopardy, Price is Right, and Family Feud all together. And so we're asking the students to come together, register for this particular game show, and where they can win prizes. And so basically it's going to be Jeopardy-style questions, where we're going to have questions such as years, inventions, and some more, names.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Price is Right style, how we call a group up to the stage where they can then do the Family Feud style questions. And so I think students and even people in the audience will be able to enjoy that. And that will be on February the 9th.
Cool.
And it starts at 7 p.m., promptly at 7 p.m. in the Student Center, room 149. And then on Wednesday the 15th, we have the essay contest where prizes will be awarded to the top three, and the topic of the essay is, are historically Black colleges and universities still relevant today? Why and why not? And the minimum minimum word count is 750 words, and they can submit that to housing@nsu.edu by 5 p.m. on February the 15th.
Okay.
And if they have any questions, they can contact Dr. Marcus T. Harrison at mtharrison@nsu.edu. On February the 22nd, I have two more, sorry. on February the 22nd, we're celebrating the rhythm of poetry and music from Douglass, the boys, Duke, and Davis to present day. This is a program where we're collaborating with the Lyman Beecher Brooks Library, Housing and Residence Life, Fine Arts Department, and the English Department, coming together on the second floor of the library here on campus. It promptly starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 8. And if anyone wants to participate in this program where they can come and read their original works or pieces, they can contact Dr. Montgomery at amontgomery@nsu.edu no later than February the 15th for their submissions. And also on February the 23rd, we're having an evening of Maya and Langston readings of the poetic genius of Maya Angelou and Langston Hughes. As featured is the first place winner of the essay contest sponsored by Housing and Residence Life, and this will be held on the submissions must be by February the 15th. And again, they can contact Dr. Marcus T. Harrison at mtharrison@nsu.edu, and this event will take place at Scott Dozier Hall at 6 p.m. on the 23rd.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Russell, which program are you involved in? Give us the date and time and a little background on the project.
The program is entitled Self-Destruction. The stakes are high. Threats and opportunity for mental wellness. And it will take place on Thursday, February the 16th, in the Nursing and General Education Building, room 205. And this program will expand on last year's critical dialogue about self-destruction, using hip-hop as a frame for important conversations about threats against mental wellness, as well as opportunities to counter such risks. So in case you're not familiar, there's a rap group by the name of De La Soul, and in 1996, they released a song that is entitled The Stakes is High, which, of course, is not grammatically correct. But it is a song that, at that time, was talking about some of the challenges and different things that were impacting the hip-hop community, but the black community as well. And so what we'll be doing is taking some time to kind of introduce that and pay homage to that particular piece, but to use mm-hmm. it as a springboard for some intergenerational conversation, a panel discussion that will focus on some of the historical threats to the community, particularly as it relates to our mental well-being, and also how we can use hip-hop and other cultural artifacts to promote wellness within the community in a time where the stakes are high, meaning that there's so many different risks that are opposing the community. However, we have had a history of being resilient and using our strengths, such as that oral tradition, to promote our wellness and success.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be an interesting program, too, yeah. Dr. Perkins, you hinted about yours a little bit earlier. Can you give us some more details?
Yeah, I think I let the cat out of bed too early. That's how excited we are here. actually, I'm working on two different panel discussions, and both of them are equally exciting. As I mentioned, we're doing one with the black policing, black community and police trust relationship, and the name of that panel discussion is going to be Home is My Safe Haven, Building Safer Communities by Building Better Relationships with the Police. And we're going to have professionals from the community justice system. We're going to have, and I can list them for you, Professor Richard James from TCC, Dr. Joseph Johnson, who is the president of the National Organization of Black and Law Enforcement Executives, which is also known as NOBLE. We have Michelle Naughton, who is the most highest-ranking black female on the Norfolk Police Department. And we also have Dr. Tenaria Warren, who is a psychologist, who is a former police officer where he served 25 years. And so that's going to be the panel for that particular session. In addition, I'm working with Dr. Manalane and Dr. Franklin on Black Lives Matter under a Trump presidency. And this is going to be a panel discussion composed of students, undergrad and graduates, and faculty members. And we're going to be tackling such questions such as, how does Black Lives Matter allow people to cope with injustices? How does Black Lives Matter movement, or how is Black Lives Movement similar to the ecology of other social movements, for example, the Pan-African American movement and other nonviolent protests? And also how students can get involved in Black Lives Matter. Of course, we know Black Lives Matter is probably one of the largest, most recent social movements in our country, and that has turned a lot of heads and brought to the forefront a lot of issues that have been left unburied. And, of course, within that particular panel discussion, we will talk about the loss of life and how black skin has been devalued over time.
Indeed. Dr. Lewis, you introduced the university introduced a course called Black Lives Matter. What are you going to be doing? What program are you going to be doing for this celebration of black history?
Yes. Well, the program that I'm sponsoring sort of emanates out of the conference that the Black Lives Matter class and the Honors College Seminar class did, the Miseducation of America, Racial Violence and Healing and the Politics of Protest that we did back in November. And I just found in the students were so empowered in my class about being able to speak and present their ideas and the sort of interaction that happened as a result of that, that throughout the rest of the class they were interested in presenting their papers to each other. And out of that came their last paper, which was on racial reconciliation. So the first part of the class was to look at the problem, the issue of social justice, and then the culminated in this, let's find a solution to some of these problems that were brought up that you raised in the conference. And so what happened was that they did such an outstanding job, which they presented to each other, that I asked Khadija if she would be willing to allow them, if they were willing to present the papers at Black Black History Month, even though the semester is over, the course is over. And amazingly, like 13 out of 19 were all in to do that. So on February 1st, February 8th, and February 15th, all are Wednesdays at 12 noon in the Student Center in room 307. We have three different panels presented by the former Black Lives Matter class students, and it's called Truth and Reconciliation, A Powwow of What Now? And the first is called Racial Reconciliation, Healing Through Education. The second one on February 8th is called Reconstructing the African-American Community, The Power of Forgiveness. And then the third is called Educating the Possibilities, Understanding is the Solution. So I encourage all, particularly the student population, but also the faculty and the public, to come and hear these presentations to sort of begin a dialogue about, you know, we know what some of the problems are, you know, what are some of the solutions, and really have them become empowered with thinking that, you know, the opportunities to make change and affect change, you know, are in their hands. And so that's what, you know, what the series that I'm going to be engaged in is doing.
All righty. I noticed something new on the calendar. Well, I think it's new. The Black History Month Shorts. Dr. Miller, Black History Month Shorts, the live experiences and contributions of Black history to the world. Is this a new Black History Month calendar event, and what would the program entail?
Yes, it is. So it's an opportunity for us to just take a little bit of time and talk about some significant but perhaps unknown aspects of Black History Month. So it's been a open forum. It's like a brown bag lunch setup, and we'll have various faculty members and students just present briefly on some unknown facts about Black History Month so that we can continue to embrace and increase our knowledge on African American history.
Okay.
And I believe I'm trying to get my dates. I think that we're also doing those on the other, the African American, we're calling them African American shorts, but they lend themselves to Dr. Lewis's student presentation
mm-hmm.
That she was talking about. And I think that this is significant because we always try to increase and have a full coverage of representation from faculty, students, staff. And so this is a way for the knowledge that our students are learning for them to share that with their peers and with others. And if I can also say that all of the programming is free and open to the public except for our performances, which are the NSU Theater performance of Ruined and the HBCU
mm-hmm.
Chorale sponsored by Dr. Haywood and the NSU Choir. But all of the other activities are free and open to the public. And so, and that is part of our HBCU tradition of giving back to the community so that they, too, can embrace and learn and become more productive citizens.
And listeners, you can also get a complete calendar of Norfolk State University's Black History Month activities at nsu.edu, and Dr. Miller has actually listed her contact information. If you have any questions, you can call her or email her at komiller@nsu.edu. You can also contact the Office of Communications and Marketing at 757-823-8373, and we can pull the calendar up and look at some more information for you. You want to join a discussion, we still got a few minutes left in the broadcast. You can call us at 347-850-8515. Just press 1 on your telephone keypad if you want to talk to our guest. I want anybody that wants to jump in on this one. A story about mathematicians who were responsible for accelerating our race to the moon, getting men on the moon. Black women, mathematicians, human computers, they were called. How could a story like this escape being taught at some point, you know, after the fact?
Well, I can just say, believe it or not, the NASA community, there are things that were published that if you go online and if you Google any of the names of those women, you'll find things there. So it's one of those things of hidden in plain sight. And this is so much the case of African-American history and culture, is that so much of this is hidden in plain sight. It's just there for us to find and bring forward and then be acknowledged as important and significant enough to, you know, shape a movie around it or shape a book around it. And I think, you know, we're coming into a new paradigm, probably because we've elected the first black president, where now all things about people of color, you know, have a broader interest than just people of color, you know, that it is interesting to all Americans because they kind of get that somehow or other that they, too, have been uninformed. And there's sort of a curiosity to know about those things. So I think that's important to note that it has been out there. It's just never been part of the text or the national narrative.
That's kind of
sad.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add to, I think that the work that Dr. Lewis and other African Americanists and other historians, as well as sociologists and psychologists that do work that focuses on the African American community, will continue to uncover these, you know, hidden stories, if you will. So that we can, it can become more common knowledge as well. And I think that that's important for us to recognize that when students or communities are, you know, able to take advantage of these types of educational programming that we're offering this month, to really to come and learn, because they'll find out very enriching information. I just wanted to emphasize that.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the impact that a story like this or news like this would have had on a young black girl in the 60s or 70s who wanted to go into the sciences and technology but didn't have the guts to do it, you know, afraid that she couldn't do it.
But you know what?
The impact could have been great.
But yes, you know what? I agree with you, but not just young black girls, young black boys too.
Right.
You know, it's so fascinating that we only – set up role models per gender.
Yeah,
but
it
is. But
this
is a perfect example of how accomplishment transcends gender, transcends race, transcends class, transcends all of that. And I did go see the movie. Matter of fact, I saw it twice. I just thought it was
me too.
Just an awesome movie.
It is.
But the first time I left out of the movies, I had three main thoughts. The first one was a slight bit of anger. Why did I know about this story? How did I not know about these great women? And the second thought was, thank God, finally a movie that doesn't portray black males as absentee fathers, as drunks, as all these other things.
Right.
Positive images of black males in this movie. And the third thing I thought was, I got to get a hold of all of my nieces and nephews and tell them they got to go see Hidden Figures. They just have to see this movie.
Yeah.
And it's a movie about everything that can make you successful in life.
Right.
And so, and to know that these women were in our backyards and I knew nothing about them is very disheartening.
Right. I think that one of the things that it also said to me, as a native of the Hampton area and as a person who had not planned to be a college professor, that it is important for us to recognize the power in our own personal stories and to recognize the responsibility to make sure that our stories are being told. It empowered me in that regard to make sure that the work that I am doing, the work that I get to encounter, that I am doing my part to share the story, to make sure that the stories are no longer hidden in plain sight.
If I may add, I think the reason why this type of story, like many others, have been hidden away from us because it has been a system that tries to keep us away from reaching our potential. And as I work with the male population here on campus in the residence hall, I try to encourage them to look at their if their mothers and their fathers or even their grandparents heroes to understand where the entertainment has come from or where inventions have come from, because these guys here, they come to school thinking, I'm here, so how can I be assisted? How can I reach my goal? And a lot of them don't really realize how to get there. And so when I encourage them to move forward, to research and understand their dreams and understand their desires, I really push them to recognize that it was somebody that did it before you. And the wheel doesn't have to be reinvented. All you have to do is just take your time and research. And so with this type of information, I haven't seen the movie yet, but you all are encouraging me to go see it, and I think I'm going to go and see it this weekend.
Well, let me just also reach out to what Khadija said in the beginning about oral tradition and the fact that we, I suspect, since the 1960s, have lost that tradition. Part of it is that some of these stories have been too painful for parents and grandparents to share, positive and negative, because if you're going to talk about hidden figures, which I think that the fact that these people achieve these incredible things despite all that is working against them doing that, you have to look at the whole context. You can't just look at the achievement. You have to also look at the other more hurtful stuff, right? Because when you do that, then you really understand, oh, my God, this is phenomenal, right? And but if you're only looking at the positive, they made it and look at what they did, then it doesn't give you a real sense of understanding that it's not just these people were smart or just their parents were, you know, a particular kind of way, but that there was an attitude that was pervasive in the community that was the counter-narrative to what they were experiencing. And I don't think as a community that we do enough counter-narrativing, I know that's not a word, you know, within our communities, orally to let young people know from the very beginning, you might be feeling this particular energy, but here's who you really are, you know, and here's what you really can do. And, you know, I believe in you and all those other kinds of things.
That's the mission of HBCUs.
Yes,
is
exactly.
To encourage our students to let them know, you know, to let them reach their fullest potential. Dr. Christine Darden, one of the mathematicians featured in the film Hidden Figures, should be here on campus at Norfolk State, February 2nd, at the Student Center, room 149 at 12:30 p.m. It's one of our signature Black History Month events. Again, it's February 2nd at the Student Center, room 149 at 12:30 p.m. All right, panel, we are near the end of this episode of Spartan Life Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Dr. Miller, I hear you got some last thoughts.
Well, I just wanted to make a correction. Dr. Darden was not featured in the film because when the film was set in the 40s, she was a baby or a little girl.
Okay.
But she did work with all of the women featured in the film, Dr. Katherine Johnson, and the others two were still at Nassau when Dr. Darden was there in the 60s. And so she's going to talk about her experience as well as working with them. And also an interesting about the community impact. She was a member of the community. They all belong to the same church. And so, and that was their support that Kay was talking about, that support and that counter-narrative, and provided the support for them to do what they had to do in spite of, you know, a systematic sexist and racist system. So
I'm so glad you said it, Dr. Miller, because we have that out on that calendar. We have to change that. Okay, we'll make that correction. Anybody else want to weigh in with some last thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, if I may, I just want to say that our Black History Month calendar is holistic. And so, yes, we have education for the mind and soul, but we also have activities for the physical self because our physical health is important. February 7th is National Black HIV AIDS Day, and we will honor that at Norfolk State with day-long programming. And then every Tuesday and Thursday, we will have free African drumming dance classes as well as exercise classes on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays during the month of February.
Wonderful. All right, guys, you were absolutely fab. I love talking to our professors and staff. You guys are always so energetic and so knowledgeable and informative. So you were great. Thank you for taking time to join us today. For more information about all things Spartan Nation, including the Black History Month calendar and events, go to nsu.edu. Again, thank you all for joining us on this issue of Spartan Life Radio on blogtalkradio.com. We've been on hiatus for several months, but we're back on track. Look for some exciting topics this year, including a show on global warming, the foster care system, President Donald Trump's election and what it means to the country, the war on poverty, and more. For a complete list of show topics, visit blogtalkradio.com/SpartanLife. Get social with NSU. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Again, visit NSU for more information on our Black History Month celebration, nsu.edu. Listen to this broadcast or others on demand at blogtalkradio.com/SpartanLife. I'm Sharon Hoggard. Remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. May the force be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Spartan Life Radio. Tune in bi-weekly on Thursday afternoons for another new episode of Spartan Life. For more information on Norfolk State University, visit nsu.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Flickr.